If you don't have the mind of Christ, you're insane almost. See, a person that doesn't know Jesus, they can be a good person and a moral person, all those things, but their mind is dead. Their spirit is dead in trespasses and sins.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday, and once again, we welcome you to Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, A True Honeymoon, from a study of the Old Testament book of Song of Solomon. Now, here's Pastor.
The Bible says in Ephesians 5:27, it says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. Look there in verse 7. You are all fair, my love. And look what he says. There is no spot in you. You're the woman. Now listen, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. To someone else, it had been, I don't like her, the way she looks. Well, so what? You didn't marry her. You keep your eyes off of her anyway. Solomon said, you're everything I've ever wanted. You're perfect. You're the perfect, perfect match. There they are, they're unclothed, standing before each other, and that is, it's holy. Remember in the garden, it says in Genesis 2:25 about Adam and Eve, it says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Listen, God knows what intimacy is to be. And men, you either make your wife feel complete or incomplete. How? By the words of your mouth. Women, it's the same way. Wives, listen, the way you talk to the things you say about your husband, it makes him feel complete or incomplete. And we want to love one another and bless one another. It says in verse 8, it says, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. Now, that's the first mention of wife in our study. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Sinir, that's the highest peak in Lebanon, and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Look what he says now. I love this. You have ravished my heart. And he goes, my sister, my spouse. That's intimate talk. That's one talk. That meaning God has made covenant with them. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse. How much better than wine is your love. He's talking now about sexual passion. And the scent of your perfumes than all spices. Your lips, oh my spouse, oh my bride, oh my wife, is what he's saying. Drip is the honeycomb. And honey and milk are under your tongue. And the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Listen, I don't even know what he's talking about. I just know that it's intimate, okay? And I look at that and I go, the honey and milk are under your tongue. What is that? What kind of kissing is that? Hebrew kissing, okay? Now, let's move on. Verse 12. It says, a garden enclosed. In other words, barred off, locked off. Now listen, what is he talking about? Who's the garden? She's the garden. Who's the vineyard? She's the vineyard. What garden is he talking about? A garden enclosed that's barred off, no one can have. He's talking about virginity. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. See, she was his garden. She was his spring, and vice versa. She's talking about virginity. Now listen, that's God's standard, and I know that some of us didn't make that. We failed before we were married. Listen, thank God for grace, amen? Thank God that we're cleansed from all sin. Don't ever punish yourself for your past or your failings because it's not going to do you any good. Jesus was punished in your place, amen? He took your transgressions and my transgressions, our iniquities and our sins. He bore everything for you and I. Listen, you are now, your past is gone. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, amen? Keep it that way. Keep yourself pure now. And that's God's standards. They waited. Why? Because sex is holy. It's holy for a man and woman to be joined together that way in intimacy. It's a holy time. It's a beautiful time. And they kept themselves pure and they waited. I was thinking today about some time ago. I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago. When the lady, I believe her name was Rosie Reed, and she was a student who was graduating from college, and her college loan was, I think, a little over $36,000. And what she decided to do was to auction her virginity on eBay. You may have remembered that, and was to the highest bidder. And what she was going to do was auction her virginity, and so she could pay off her college loans. A true story. Well, after so much of a scandal that erupted, eBay removed her, and she set up her own website, having over 2,000 hits a day. And finally, a 44-year-old divorced engineer paid her $22,000, and she accepted. I think today that we live in a state of madness. In a state of madness. Let me say something. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're a madman. If you don't have the mind of Christ, you're insane almost. See, a person that doesn't know Jesus, they can be a good person and a moral person, all those things, but their mind is dead. Their spirit is dead in trespasses and sins. And let me say something. A carnal mind, which is enmity to God, a carnal mind which is thinking always death, what does it do? It produces death. And for that poor girl, my heart broke for her because I read what happened to her after that evening. How ashamed she felt. How horrible it was. It's amazing the things that the devil will encourage people to do. And you see, we live in a fallen world with fallen ideas about love, fallen ideas about sex, fallen ideas about marriage. But you know something? God created marriage. God created male. God created female. God created love and sex and all of it. And let me say something about what happened in the garden, which is our model, is that Adam, if you remember, did Adam date Eve? No. Did Adam court Eve? No. Now, he might have, after he met her, he might have said, hey, did I tell you I named all the animals? I don't know. I mean, he might have been trying to impress her. I mean, you know how men are, you know. I mean, you know, kind of sick people. But anyway, the fact is Eve had never spoken a word to Adam, and vice versa, she had never even heard his voice. Listen, remember how, you know, God took the rib out of Adam and made the woman, remember that? Made him go to sleep. I wonder, I don't know this if it's true, but let me just go ahead and give you Bill's opinion. Doesn't mean anything, but I'm just going to give it to you anyway. I wonder, when Adam was there sleeping in the garden, when God made woman from him, from the rib, from his side, to be always at his side, never under his feet, never above him, never below, but at his side. I wonder, as he was sleeping, did the Lord say, okay, Eve? Because see, the first person Eve saw was God. Think about it. The first thing she saw was the Lord there in the garden. Think about it. I wonder if she grabbed Eve and took Eve over to Adam and says, there's your man. And she saw him. I think she fell in love with him right then. I mean, I don't know that that happened, but I do know this. Listen to what Scripture says. It says this. They'd never kissed. They never dated. They never courted. And it says in Genesis 2:23, it says, and Adam said, now listen, Adam woke up. Let's put it that way. He was rubbing his side. Said, what did you do to me, man? You know, he was going, what's going on here? Adam woke up. He was rubbing his side. And Adam saw Eve. And listen to what he said. He said, this is now bone of my bone. Now listen to me. I like the RSV version says this. This at last, the Living Bible says, this is it. I like that. He saw Eve and he said, this is it. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Listen, that's the first words that she ever heard and she fell for him. Think about it. Man, I mean, he was going, bone of my bone. You know what I'm saying? He was in love with her. And immediately, why did I tell you that? Because if you're single and you want to marry, you're desiring to marry. Listen to me. God knows the mate for you. And listen, God will bring your future wife, your future husband, He will bring them to you. I don't know how many single ladies I have counseled in my office who say, Bill, I'm never going to get married. And I always say, now that you've said that, it's going to happen. Because, you know, you're at your last, you can't take it anymore. You're going, I'm never going to marry. The moment that you say that, I'm telling you what, He's going to ride in on that white horse and scoop you up. You understand? That means you better get ready. Because God knows what He's doing. He knows how to bring that mate to you. He knows exactly. You don't have to experiment with 20 different people. Amen? You don't have to do that. And then in verse 13, He says, your plants are like an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, fragrant henna with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. What's He talking about? He's talking about her. He's being intimate with, He's telling her. What does all this mean? Well, it tells you in verse 16. Now listen to me. I want to explain something. Have you noticed something from chapter 3 all the way? Solomon has done all the talking. The woman hasn't said a word. Now she's finally going to talk. Watch. In verse 16, she says this, awake, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits. What is she doing? She's saying, I love you. You love me. We're in God's perfect will. That we did not awaken love until it was time, and honey, it's time. That's exactly what she's saying. And she's saying, listen, you come on into the garden, if you will. I'm not trying to be weird here. Come on in. Pick all the fruit you want. Why? Because I am completely yours and you are completely mine. Now let me say something to you. Because we say, well, Bill, this isn't very spiritual here. I know it's, but let me bring it into another perspective for a moment. If you read chapter 4, why don't you forget about marriage for a moment between in our marriages, but think about your marriage between you and Christ. Amen? We're the bride. He's our husband. Amen? Do you know that's what the Lord thinks of you? He looks at you. Listen, tonight, some of you have come out of horrible things. You've come out of things in your life that has hurt and harmed you and beat you up. And God looks at you and He says, listen, there's not any spot in you. Some of you tonight, your marriage is, maybe you committed adultery. It hurt, and of course it hurt, but listen to me. You got under the blood of Jesus. You both got healed and delivered. And you know what? God says, I love you. There's no spot in you. You're holy. You're blameless. You're mine. You're my bride. And I love you. And I look at you, and He could start at the top of your head. He says, I love the top of your head. I love the soles of your... I love everything about you. And I'll tell you why. Because I died for you. Amen? We need to see it that way, how much God truly loves us. There's a romance there between the Spirit and us. He yearns for jealousy, it says in James, over us. Oh, He is jealous. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to share you with anything in this world. He wants Himself to be number one in your life. He doesn't want to be number two or number three. He wants to be number one. Why? He loves you. He adores you. And we should love Him and adore God with all of our heart and soul and strength. And then Solomon says this. He says, I have come to my garden. Now, did you notice there's something that's happening? Past tense. This is the wedding night is over, okay? He says, I've come to my garden, to my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Did you notice the word my there? 9 times he said the word my. He says, eat, O friends, and drink. Yes, drink deeply, O beloved ones. Now, the first night of their married life has now passed. And he uses that word, like I said, my, there, nine times. And now the marriage begins. Now, let me make a quick application. I want you to look back at verse 5 just for a moment, where he says, your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Solomon went through and he said, you're beautiful. You're wonderful. Your eyes, your neck, your lips, your teeth, your ears, your fingernails. He was just everything. You know, I'm not trying to add to scripture, but you get he's 8 parts of her body. Like I said, he starts talking about it. Listen, that gave me a quick little revelation, men. And I'm speaking, I guess, to men more maybe tonight than I am women. But husbands, listen to me. He knew her outwardly, yes, okay? He knew her outwardly. But here's the thing. That's a picture of us not only knowing our wives outwardly, but knowing our wives inwardly. And that's what's so important, is that you know. I mean, I've met men, they say, here's what I want in a wife. And she has to be a blonde, she has to be blue eyes, she's going to have this type of figure, she's going to have to be built this certain way, she's going to have this kind of education. And I'm going, yeah, but what about the inside? I don't care about that, man, I just want the outside. I go, well, you really are a moron. You understand what I mean? What kind of list is that? And so the thing that we need to know is that marriage is knowing about your wife. Yes, outwardly, but I'll tell you, if you don't know your wife, your spouse, your husband, your wife inwardly, you're in trouble. Turn in your Bible with me as we make just a quick application about that to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 7 with me. It says, husbands, 1 Peter 3, 7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Now, husbands, dwell with who? Dwell with your wife, all right? How do you dwell with them? It says you need to understand them. To dwell with your wife doesn't mean, hey, I come home every night. That's not what the Lord is teaching us right here. See, to dwell with your wife doesn't mean, men, that you come home and all day Saturday and Sunday, you've worked Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, you just sit there with a remote control, drink iced tea, and watch sports all the time. That's not what it's talking about when it says living together. To dwell, it means to dwell together in close relationship there. In other words, being sensitive to one another. And it tells us how to dwell with your wife. Watch this. It says, dwell with them with understanding. In other words, according to knowledge. What does that mean? It means you should know her inside. What's going on? What are her needs? Getting into her heart. Finding out who she really is. Remember how before you were married, you talked to her all the time, and then after you married, you talk less and less and less. That's not right. You should be talking more and more and more. You're one now. You're in the Lord together. And so God wants us to dwell with them. How? With understanding. Communicate with them. Get into her heart. Know her goals. Know her dreams. Know her desires. Know what hurts her. Find her hurts, and then pray until they're well. Amen? Tear down brick after brick in her heart. That's what God wants us to do. And then it says, what? Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Now that doesn't mean mentally weaker there, okay? That's not what that's referring to. It's talking about physical strength. And so here, giving honor to the wife, what does that mean? To give honor, that's a picture, if you will, in the Bible, of the word honor as a treasure chest, where you go to this treasure chest and there you see what the outside looks like. But you open it up, and inside that treasure chest, you have pearls and diamonds and rubies and all sorts of exotic and beautiful treasure. And God says, if you really want to dwell with your wife, if you really want to have a great marriage, open her heart. Get inside of her heart. Talk to her. You know, I am shocked when I counsel with married couples who have been married for years, and they say to me, I don't tell my wife about this. And I go, wait a minute. You've been married for 15 years and you have never expressed that fear to your husband? Never. Why? I don't know. I can't. I said, what? And you're living with that? You mean you're being tormented? And I'm afraid to do that. Men, listen to me. That means we are failing in our jobs. We have the grace to do it. We have the Holy Spirit who has equipped us to do it. We have the Word of God to tell us how to do it. So what do? We go to our wife, that beautiful treasure chest, and say, I like the way you look on the outside, honey, but I want to get to know you. So what do? You open the lid and you go, I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know you really thought like that. I didn't know you really felt like that. I didn't know that was hurting you or that happened to you in your past. Somebody did that. Oh, honey, why didn't you tell me? She said, I was too ashamed. I'm too hurt. I didn't know how. And then you just, what do? You start praying. You start loving. And what happens is, as you start discovering who she really is, you're taking down that brick wall that maybe has been built up in her life from a past that was unpleasant. And as you start removing one brick, one at a time, what happens? You start discovering who your wife really is. And when she is able to express her deepest fear to you, or deepest hurt, whatever it might be, and you don't reject her, then, oh God, don't do that. You don't judge her. You know what happens? You're going to start finding more treasure than you ever thought you would find. And there's going to be a deeper intimacy, not only in the bedroom, I mean an intimacy in your daily walk. You wake up in the morning and you want to be with each other 24/7. There's that deep love between you two. You live life together. You dream together. There's a future together. You want to die together. You don't want to leave one another. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you go, you say, I don't want to leave you. I want to go before you. I want you to go first. Or you follow me? It's you're in love. And that's what this is talking about, giving your wife honor. And the reason is, watch, it says, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Gentlemen, listen to me. See, when we don't love and respect our wife, you know, you need to develop a good talk. You understand me? No, you need to talk. I'm going to challenge you tonight. I'm not trying to make you mad. Don't send me an email because I'm not going to read it. When is the last time you told your wife, I don't care if you've been, or if you're not married, you're a future bride. When is the last time you told your wife, you're absolutely gorgeous? You put your hand on her hair and say, you know, you look lovely. Even though she's been all day ironing or something. No, but I'm serious. And say, I love you. You're beautiful. You're what I want. You're always what I want. In other words, doing that without trying to take her into the bedroom, okay? I'm talking about talking to her and loving her. Solomon was good. He had a talk. He wanted her to know that she was his prize, the most special woman in all the world, that there wasn't a spot in her, whether she weighs 99 pounds or 299 pounds. Do you understand me? That you're mine and I'm yours and I'm in love with you and we're one together in the Lord. We've made covenant and that's what it's all about. See, if you don't love and respect your wife, if you don't honor her, if you don't treat her like treasure, guys, if you don't protect her, listen, here's what's going to happen. God says your prayers are going to be hindered. What does that mean by hindered? The word literally means cut off. What does that mean? It's not going to get any higher than the ceiling. Why? Because you are heirs together in this grace of life. So what does it tell you? It tells you that God says, if you don't treat your wife the right way, and women, girls, ladies, marrieds, if you don't treat your husband the right way, God says your spiritual relationship, it's going to suffer. That's why God told us in the Word, as I close tonight, He gave Jesus as a perfect example. In Ephesians 5:25, you know the scripture, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He died for us. That sacrificial love. And he says, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. Listen, the only rule, the only reign that a Christian man has is the rule of love. You want headship in your home? You want to have a treasure chest in your home? Then here's how you do it. Lay down your life. Demonstrate your love, just like Jesus. Amen? That's what it's all about, guys.
Pastor Bill will continue his study of Song of Solomon on tomorrow's program, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. We want to thank you for listening with us. Have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.